Cheer, everybody.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thank you. So as we're moving along, we've already covered, we spent 2 weeks on hearing aids, and now we're moving on to cochlear implants. Before we actually start the shear, I just want to point out that last week, I just want to correct what I said. Last week, I mentioned that that we were discussing the devices that paralyzed patients can utilize to speak with. I said that according to Shlomo Zalman, it's possible if you're focusing on the sound waves, you would be since the sound waves aren't being converted when you're using those devices, you're creating sound waves for the initial sound wave is being created by the device. There is no conversion. It's possible that within that construct, it would be considered halachic talking. So I want to point out that Shlomo Zalman definitely doesn't think like that. He explicitly says he doesn't think like that. He obviously had no idea what the devices were, but in his piece on hearing aids, he just adds in a line just to emphasize a point that if you press a button and cause something to speak, that's definitely not considered talking in halacha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman definitely, and not only that, I highlighted it, I made a note of it. I specifically went out of my way to point out that Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't say that. So I'm apologizing for quoting, for saying that it's a possibility within his line of thinking. What can be possible, though, is within the Rav Shlomo Zalman worldview, not Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, but someone else that would argue that the whole issue with hearing aids, with microphones and speakers in general, is that you are taking sound waves, converting it to electrical impulses, and then back to sound waves. If you get rid of all of that, all you're doing is creating a sound wave by using one of those devices. It is possible that within that worldview, maybe they would consider one of those devices halachic speaking. So I just wanted to correct that from last week. Now, when we're transitioning from the conversations that we've been having to this week's topic, I just want to emphasize that we're really talking about two different halachic questions, global questions. When we're discussing halachic talking, what we're interested in is what is considered speaking in halacha. Speaking is probably some sort of maaseh, it's an action. So then we have to define how do we view actions in halacha. Maybe there's a specific format it has to follow. So that's what we've been really been thinking about for the last 2 weeks. So that's what the whole discussion was. When we're discussing cochlear implants, what we're really talking, cochlear implants is hearing. It's one of the five senses. It's passive. It's not an active thing. It's I have to hear something in halacha. And so the question is, what is considered hearing? That's fundamentally a totally different question. That's about passively receiving information, not about causing anything to occur. So this is a completely different question. It's about how we think about senses. So, and again, and to point out, that doesn't necessarily mean that hearing is the same as any one of the other four senses, but it's just one of them. So we'll just see a little bit whether or not we could think about this globally, or is each one has its own rules and requirements. So I just want to just to give you an idea of what we're going to be doing today. So first, just to give a general description of hearing. There are a couple of devices. It's not just cochlear implants. A couple of other devices that I think fall under this question, as we've alluded to in the past. We'll discuss the sources. The sources are all about cochlear implants. I'm not aware of any source that discusses any of these newer hearing aids. So we'll discuss the sources that are available, which are very limited compared to hearing aids, microphones, and speakers that have been around, obviously, for much longer. So there are many more sources. The sources for cochlear implants are incredibly limited. So we probably, as far as I'm aware, I think we're covering pretty much all of them. We may only be missing one or two, but that's how little sources there are. And then for the conclusion of this year, using the sources, we'll try to analyze how they would think about all the different types of devices, not just cochlear implants. So hearing, very simply, your ear basically is set up as a receiver. It's specifically designed, right, in a way that it can catch sound waves, right? We've been spending the last few weeks discussing how those sound waves got there. But now that we're up to the ear, it's specifically designed to receive sound waves. Those sound waves then travel down the ear, where they then end up moving these hairs, and the hairs then convert the sound wave into an electrical impulse that then travels along the cochlear nerve up to the brain. That's how we hear, and that's in the brain is what you actually perceive. I was waiting for your description. I know I gave a very general description.
That's an excellent description.
Didn't get more.
The only thing I wanted to add is one more step, actually.
Yes.
The hairs bend, causing an electrical signal, which causes release of chemicals, which are then passed through a small space and are picked up by nerve cells.
Okay, so even better.
And then they create electricity in the nerve cells.
Okay, perfect. So wait, so then you're telling me there's electricity is being formed, which is then causing the chemicals to cause electrical impulse in the nerve,
right.
the classic signaling along a nerve.
Right.
Okay, perfect. So I hope you're also familiar with all the devices we're going to discuss and that you can correct me if I describe something.
I'm probably not. I've been retired for a while.
So we'll try. So the first device is I found four devices. So the first, and just to again emphasize, some of these are called hearing aids, but as far as we're concerned, this is totally different from the previous conversation. Previously, the classical hearing aid is a microphone transmitting to a speaker. None of these devices function that way, so it's fundamentally a different question. We're not talking about the talking question that we've had up until now. We're discussing hearing, this is the question about what is going to be considered hearing. So just to first describe the devices. So the first one is called a bone anchored hearing aid. Basically what happens is, so first of all, it's indicated in a congenital atresia of the ear. Basically your ear doesn't get fully formed. So basically you're missing part of the ear. Or this patient previously was using regular hearing aids, but was one of the complications of hearing aids is chronic ear infections, or I guess you could potentially also be allergic to the material that it's made out of, so they need some other device. So basically, what you do is you insert an implant into the skull, which integrates into the bone. You attach a external processor to that implant. Which is either the implant either is sticking out a little bit in the skull or it's magnetic and you could just attach it directly on like that. Which then, so we're totally bypassing the outer ear at least. We're not using that at all, right? Where that then has a receiver on it, a microphone basically, which picks up the sound signals. And then it converts it to vibrations and the bone can conduct vibrations. That's why when the dentist is drilling on your teeth, it sounds really loud in your ears, right? It's really annoying. It's because of the vibrations through the bone or through the teeth. But the same thing with this device, it then allows uses the vibrations to transmit the sound wave that it's converted to vibrations to the inner ear, which is then follows along the path we mentioned before and goes up to the and then stimulates the nerve. That's a bone-anchored hearing aid. So basically, we are converting sound waves to these vibrations along the bone, which is then stimulating the inner ear. We're bypassing the outer ear.
Right, but that's not a cochlear implant.
I'm sorry?
That's not a cochlear implant.
Correct. Cochlear implant, I'll describe last, because cochlear implant is...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just give me 1 second. Basically, cochlear implants is bypassing the entire ear. So that's why I'm mentioning it last. A direct drive hearing device that's indicated with patients that have either limitations in very low or very high in hearing, very low or very high frequencies. What happens there is there's a microphone again, that's the receiver that picks up the sound waves, which then converts it to either infrared or radio frequencies. Which are then picked up. There's a lens. They put a lens in the ear canal, which then picks up those radio frequencies, which is then converted to the classic way. then continues stimulating the normal pathway, auditory pathway. So there, just again, just to highlight the idea there is A sound wave is picked up by a microphone. Sound wave is converted to a radio wave, and the radio wave and then goes to a lens, which converts it to electrical signal, and then it continues along that the pathway. There's this company called Esteem, which has what they call an active middle ear implant. I do want to just mention that some of these devices I did find peer-reviewed articles about, so I definitely could give much better details about those. Other devices, I assume either because they're still in the process of making them or they're still trying to get copyrights, so I think they're still in testing. So I don't know how much information is available, how much objective information is available on these devices. So I took the information from these companies' websites. So I hope that that doesn't give too much bias to the description. So this company Esteem has this active middle ear implant. What's interesting here is that there's no microphone at all. All you're doing is that your sound arrives as it normally does in the ear. It's converted. I think what happens is it gets converted to the electrical to an electrical signal by the regular ear, but then it's picked up. It manipulates a function of the middle ear, the inner ear. It basically just increases the intensity of the sound in the middle of the ear. So there's a receiver there. It picks up that sound wave, the electrical impulse that the ear had converted, and then increases the frequency there, increases the intensity of that electrical impulse. Which then for someone who's basically his hearing problems, that he doesn't have a high, he's not getting enough of that electrical signal. Usually that's because of a loss of hair cells or something along those lines. So then that's converted to vibrations, which is then transferred along. So what's interesting about this is that, again, it's called active middle ear implant, exactly how it sounds like. The idea is that it's replacing the middle ear. So there is no, it's not like any one of the other devices we've described up until now. There is no microphone. All it's doing is just replacing the middle ear. And then the most famous of these devices, the cochlear implant, what happens there is there's an external microphone that picks up the sound waves, which are then converted into an electrical signal that directly stimulate the nerve. Basically, you bypass the entire ear. It's basically an artificial organ. I think it's the only real artificial organ that we have, or maybe at least the first artificial organ that we had, where you just basically completely replace one of the body's organic organs completely. So those are the different devices. How did I do? Did I describe them well?
Yeah, very good. And some of them I never even heard of.
Okay, great. I'm glad I was able to show you something.
There is one more. Let me just add one more that you might have heard about, which is they're working on now, is the brainstem implant that goes even deeper. Starts off like a cochlear implant, but it's for people who don't have a cochlea, and it goes further in the brain to the next station.
Even better. So I didn't come across that. So I'll add that to my notes. Thank you. I'll look it up. All right. So all of our sources are just, again, these are all about cochlear implants. So our first, I think the first person that ever discussed cochlear implants was actually a doctor. He wrote an article in Tchumen, the Israeli journal. I think his name is pronounced Brahma, Dr. Brahma. So he first of all says, he starts off with Rosham Zaman Orbach's position about hearing aids, and he assumes that he's correct. Again, as we mentioned last year, many people assume that Rosham Zaman is correct and that anybody that disagreed with Rosham Zaman just didn't understand how hearing aids work. But he starts off with Rosham Zaman's approach that hearing aids is considered hearing. And then he says, and Rosham Zaman would obviously also say that a cochlear implant is considered hearing, which is interesting. It's possible. But I don't think you can infer from Rosham Zaman anything. He never really told us what he would consider hearing, right? Again, as we're separating these things into two different categories, hearing aids, microphones, speakers, that's a question of talking. What is considered halachic talking, right? Is it considered that the person was talking, or is it considered that the speaker, so to speak, was talking? By cochlear implants, by all these devices, what we're asking, or the question that we're interested in, is what's considered halachic hearing. Again, it's a passive hearing. I have no idea what Rosham Zaman would say about that. I suspect Rishon LeZion would agree with Dr. Brahma's assertion because of what Rishon LeZion thinks about other things. It seems logical that he would agree that the biological way of thinking about hearing would indicate that a cochlear implant should work halachically, because for as far as halacha is concerned, what do I care? By halacha, right, by hearing, what I'm concerned is that a person hears something that someone who was obligated in mitzvahs did, right? So I have to hear shofar from someone who is obligated in blowing shofar. That's one requirement. So I have to hear from that person. So as long as that person blew shofar, I heard it. My brain processed that sound. Why? Because it biologically, it makes sense that, you know, why do I care if it went through the ear, if it went through some sort of cochlear implant? It could be completely irrelevant. The point is, they produce some sort of sound wave. My brain processed that sound wave, that same sound wave, just to emphasize that we're not talking about hearing aids from last week. So then what difference does it make? Who cares? So what's interesting then is Rav Asher Weiss, he's a very famous medical halacha, he's contemporary. He also agrees with Rosh Hashanah and Orbach's. He's actually the person that I saw that most strongly wrote that anyone that disagreed with Rosh Hashanah and Orbach just clearly did not understand how a hearing aid or a microphone works. But he agrees with Rosh Hashanah and Orbach about hearing aids. The reason why he says that that's true is because it's not the biological way of talking. In order to be chayv be able to consider what a person's doing as halachic talking or halachic blowing in the case of shofar, it has to be the biological way of doing so. In other words, my vocal cords have to produce that sound. Once a speaker is producing that sound, that's not considered talking or blowing. But then he says the same thing is true about cochlear implants, that by a cochlear implant, it has to be the biological way of doing it. The natural way of hearing is through your ear. Anything that bypasses the ear is not the biological way of hearing. So I have a couple of problems with this. My first problem with it is, again, the same problem I have with Dr. Brahma's argument. Zalman Orbach never spoke about cochlear implants, so I don't really know what he would say. I think these are potentially two different things. That's one issue. The second issue is that Rav Shlomo Zalman, if we discussed his problem last week, was that he defined speaking as the sound waves that are being produced by the vocal cords, not the sound waves that are being produced by a speaker. That he never said his problem is that it's not biological versus artificial. That wasn't the issue that was discussed. The issue was that it's not that it wasn't the sound that was produced by the vocal cords. Halachically, in order to be able to be considered talking in halacha, it has to be the sound that the vocal cord produces. So that there's no reason to assume that Shlomo Zalman was making this blanket assertion that everything has to be done in the biological way. And if it's not done in the biological way, that there's some sort of problem with it. I'm not sure why Rabbi Weiss assumes that would be Rabbi Orbach's position. The third issue is that I'm not really sure what he means, because in the end of his piece, and again, I would like to point out this piece, Rabbi Weiss has this website where it's a lot of his thoughts on the parsha written up. He has a lot of different shirim and sugyas are written up on that website. I'm not sure how well edited they are, but it's not really clear at the end of his article what he says the problem is, because he says there's no difference between the voice heard over a hearing aid or over a cochlear implant. So I have absolutely no idea what that means. The whole point is that by a cochlear implant, there is no sound being produced. By a hearing aid, there's a sound. By a cochlear implant, there is no sound. So I'm not really sure what he means, that there's no difference in the sound, and therefore it's the same thing. But Rabbi Weiss is entitled to his own opinion. He doesn't have to use Rabbi Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's opinion. And he can argue that it's just that there's a problem when it's not there's a halachic requirement for whatever reason that hearing has to be in the natural organic sense, and so any device that bypasses that pathway would be considered not halachic talking. Rav Bleich has two articles. We discussed this. I mentioned this to you on the side before Shir, I think last time. Rav Bleich has two articles on cochlear implants. Now, I'm not, they're both, I think, based on faulty assumptions about how cochlear implants work. I don't think he had good information. The second article is definitely is where he corrects his first article. The second article is definitely wrong. The first article, I'm not sure how much his understanding of cochlear implants really affected his understanding as far as halacha is concerned, what the difference was. So I think the first article is definitely much more useful. But he basically argues that there is this concept in halacha that microscopic phenomena are not recognized in halacha. What we mean by that is, for example, the most classic sense of it is that when you have bugs, you're not allowed to drink bugs. We're not allowed to eat bugs, right? So we know if you take a microscope to any cup of water, there'll be bugs everywhere. You'll see all these different bacteria roaming around. And so every few years, someone decides to come up with that that's a problem. It's not clear that that's actually an issue because, I mean, it's clear that it's not an issue because halacha doesn't recognize microscopic things. That's not relevant. So the only thing that would be an issue is if I look at my cup of water and I see with my own eyes that there's bugs. If I can't see that there's bugs, then it's microscopic. Halacha doesn't care about things that happen microscopically. That's not a new idea. That's that I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, again, nothing to do with hearing aids, maybe was one of the original one of the biggest proponents of that argument. I think it's widely accepted. But Reb Blech has an interesting just twist on that argument, where he argues that there is a difference between two types of microscopic phenomena. There's one that it does have a physical manifestation. In other words, so for example, let's say sound waves, I can't see a sound wave, but I can hear a sound wave. So a sound wave is something that is important in halacha, even though it's microscopic, because physically I can sense that it's there. The idea is basically globally that the Torah wasn't given to Malachi Asharis, the Torah wasn't given to angels, the Torah was given to human beings. What we perceive is what halacha is concerned about. What we can't perceive is completely irrelevant. So then he makes the case that there's a difference between hearing aids and cochlear implants. By hearing aids, what's being produced is a sound wave. That sound wave has nothing to do with the first sound wave. Again, as halacha recognizes sound waves, because they are physical manifestations that I can recognize, even though I can't see them. So the first sound wave that the person, when he was originally speaking, that sound wave was halachically talking. The second sound wave that the speaker produced was the speaker talking. It's completely irrelevant. But by a cochlear implant, there is no sound waves. There's just that electrical impulse. Electrical impulse is not something that I physically sense, because what I really sense is that sound wave. Yeah, you're going to tell me that, yes, I do physically sense it because that's how my neurons communicate with each other. I'll argue with you. That's not really, you know, that's just how the neurons communicate. That's not how my body receives those signals. So that doesn't necessarily bother me as much. So then he would argue that the cochlear implant would be considered hearing because the microscopic intermediary, or the fact that the cochlear implant was what converted the sound wave to the electrical signal, is completely relevant in halacha because I don't care about the electrical signal. I only care about sound waves. Rabbi Navon, he is also in line with the Rosh Shlomo Zalman way of thinking about it. Not Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Weiss's argument that it has to follow the natural hearing. So he says, he adds on that not only is it natural hearing, it also has to follow the usual pathway. In other words, it has to follow the usual, the sound wave goes to the ear transmits it down from the outer ear to the inner ear. And then that's how the signal has to follow that method. If it, anything else, wouldn't be considered hearing on halacha. He decides he has a proof for his argument. His proof is by food. We know that by food, the prohibition, for example, by Yom Kippur, the prohibition of eating is not being full, is not having, you know, the after effects of the food. The prohibition is tasting the food. The problem is the taste. So he wants, this is important. Apparently on Rav Moshe Feinstein was once asked for IV fluids on Yom Kippur. What happened was a person couldn't, his doctor told him he can't fast. So he did want to fast. So he wanted to be hooked up to an IV. This way he'll get all of his nutrients and he still won't have to eat. So agreed that that is not considered eating an halacha. Rav Moshe points out that's just a problem because we don't, you know, we do medicine in the way that is where medicine is supposed to be practiced. We don't, you're not, you have no obligation, or it might even be prohibited to do medical therapies that aren't indicated. there is no reason for this person to take IV fluids. He could just eat. So he has to eat. It's Yom Kippur. That's completely irrelevant. It's not important. It's Yom Kippur. So what? He has to eat. He'll die if he doesn't eat. He should eat. So the point is that in that within that idea is the concept that the only iser, the only prohibition of eating is the taste. By food, it has to follow, as Rabbi Navonu argues, it has to follow that pathway. There is this concept, he argues, of a pathway in halacha. The halacha recognizes the biological pathway, I guess, of the way the body recognizes things. Therefore, by hearing, it has to follow the same pathway. And so the eating is its proof. So I'm a little bit confused about what his argument is. First of all, eating is an action, not a passive thing. Eating, right, you have to eat. I don't know exactly what that's not necessarily the same thing as hearing, which is passive. But irrespective of that, he assumes that eating is the example. That's the that is the thesis, I would say, that all other halachic areas have to follow. I would argue that by eating, the fact that I have to go out of my way to tell you that taste is what's important, not the end result, that's proving that that's the exception, not the rule. In general, the rule is that the end result is what's important. By eating, I happen to have a special rule that taste is also important. I don't know if I necessarily have to make that argument. I could stop short of that argument and just say every biological process, I have to define for each and every biological process what is permitted and what is prohibited. I don't necessarily have to go that far. But even within his view that there has to be some sort of theory in halacha of how we consider biological processes, I would argue, I don't know why he's arguing that food is the example that everything else must follow. If anything, food is the exception, not the rule. Rabbi Rabinowitz assumes that by hearing, what's important is, as we were arguing within Rosh Shlomo Zalman's position, possibly, is that by hearing, the end result is what matters. Again, is a passive, it's a sensory concept, right? What's important is that my brain processes the sound. And he brings proof for that. His proof is that whenever the Torah discusses hearing, as in by prophecies, it always mentions, even though nobody else can hear the sound, only the person can hear the sound. When Hashem called for Moshe Rabbeinu to go to the Mishkan, only Moshe was able to hear him speaking to him. Nobody around him can hear. So it was something that was happening neurologically, and still the Torah calls it talking. Same when the Jews were standing around by Har Sinai, right? And the first three that Hashem is telling them, right? It's just something that happens in their brain. It's basically some sort of hallucination, for lack of a better word. It's a hallucination, right? That they're the, it's a neurological process that they're hearing. Just to point out, that's not to argue. I don't think he would take that the next step, right? Which we also had alluded to last week. He's not going to take the next step and then say hallucination. If I hallucinate someone blowing shofar, since I neurologically process blowing shofar, I was Yotzi shofar. He's obviously not going to say that, right? As we mentioned in the beginning of this year, there's two components to this, right? One is someone who's obligated in blowing shofar actually blew the shofar, blew a kosher shofar. There are rules about what he has to blow, how he has to blow it, and who can blow it, right? That's the first thing. So hallucination doesn't fill any of those requirements. Maybe if a sound producer is right, but whatever. It doesn't really fill any of those requirements, right? He just got the second half of the equation, which is that you heard the sound. So you obviously, if you hallucinate blowing shofar, you're not going to be Yotzi shofar. But he at least proves that the Torah still calls it hearing. So since it's still called hearing, clearly what's important is the neurological process of the neurological process is what's important, not how the sound got to the ear. In general, it's unclear whether or not we use medrash. This could be a shir in its own right. But whether or not we can use midrashic sources for halacha, right? It's clearly a medrash, right? The Torah, how the sound is being perceived by the Jews. It's difficult to know whether or not you could use that for halacha or not. But okay, fine, whatever. He decides it's a nice little, extra cherry on top of, so to speak, to prove that maybe sound, halachic sound, is something that has to, that what's neurological is what's important. The pathway is completely irrelevant. And therefore, a cochlear implant would be considered hearing in halacha. Rabbi Rabinowitz published this in Truman. Again, Truman is where most of these articles actually got published. Rabbi Rosen, who was, I think he died recently, but he was the editor of Truman. he has a footnote on this article arguing on this point. Because Rabinowitz's argument is that he has a midrashic source to prove that hearing is, since hearing is something that's only neurological, it's a the miracle. So the Torah focused on that. So that's what's considered. So obviously by hearing, what's important is the neurological process, not the pathway. He says, but by man that the Jews got throughout the desert for 40 years, it says that the Jews were eating them. And that's miracle food, right? So clearly we see that, and by eating, I know that eating, what's important is the taste, not the end result, not the fact that I feel full. So obviously I see that by miracles, I can't really trust the words that the Torah says. I can't trust just because it uses the word eating doesn't necessarily mean it really means eating is what's important. I can't prove anything. I don't really know what Rai Rosen means. He's confused, because by hearing, the point was that they were hearing, right? The miracle was that they heard something neurologically, whatever it was. Let's call it a hallucination. The point is something was heard neurologically. Now, if anyone wants to argue that when you hear something by a hallucination and when you hear something, it's different parts of the brain, I'm not going to argue with you and I'll accept the argument. But let's just assume that it's the same. It doesn't really matter which part of the brain you're, I don't really know how this works. But let's just assume that it's the same part of the brain, or it's irrelevant which part of the brain. The point is, it was a neurological process, whatever, fine. But the Maiman, the miracle wasn't that they felt full throughout the desert for 40 years. The miracle was that they got food in the desert for 40 years. They were still eating the way you eat normally. You eat biologically, is I put food in my mouth and I eat it, right? I chew it and it goes down my GI tract, right? That's not the miracle. The miracle was just that the food appeared. So I don't really know how he's proving that Rabinowitz is wrong. I think Rabinowitz could still be making a great point. I'm not really sure Rai Rosen's argument is. I don't understand what he's asking. Rav Sternbach is also strongly argued in favor of cochlear implant being considered hearing in halacha. And he makes the case, it's slightly different from the way we were phrasing it up until now. He argues that the natural way of hearing something is completely irrelevant. Now, the way he's thinking about it is that in general, in halacha, right, when it's something that's not normal, then it's something that's loy kedarko, right? So that's something that would invalidate hearing or invalidate whatever it is that we're talking about. So he makes the case that he thinks that the people's issue, I guess, with hearing something, not hearing it biologically, is his issue. Their issue is that it's loy kedarko. So I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I'm not sure why. I think their issue is that it's not biological, not that it's not the normal way to hear. But okay, fine. Let's assume that argument, that the issue is shelo kedarka. So he makes a very logical point that A, shelo kedarka or kedarka is something that is something that's prohibited when we're talking about actions, right? If I am supposed to shake a lulav with my hand this way and I end up shaking it with my elbow, that's shelo kedarka. So maybe that invalidates the way I'm shaking, my shaking of the lulav. But that's something that's active. Hearing is passive. There is no concept of kedarko or shelo kedarko by something that's passive. So that's his first argument. Again, I think it's an argument that he created, but okay, fine. That's his, he doesn't think that that's relevant. He also argues that the other point is that it's, again, within this theory of kedarko, is that each person has his own way of hearing. For all I know, I hear differently than the way you hear. I have no idea what sound sounds like to you, right? We know when people age, things sound differently. So for all I know, everyone has their own way of hearing. So what do I care if I hear differently than you, or if this guy's hearing from a cochlear implant and this guy's ears is his natural ear? The point is that the neurological process was accomplished. I'm not going to quote who said it to me, because this was in passing. It's not really fair to quote him, but I asked one of the YUSH Yeshiva what they thought about cochlear implants, and they wanted to know if a cochlear implant sounds the same way as normal hearing. So I don't know why that's relevant, because who cares, right? Again, I didn't see Rav Sternbach's argument when I was thinking about this, but I think Rav Sternbach's exactly right. We all hear it. For all I know, everybody hears differently. Who cares what the whether or not it sounds the same? The point is that you heard. I think whether or not it's the same or not, I think should be irrelevant. So these all these different positions, I think, really give us basically three different ways of thinking about cochlear implants and, more importantly, all these devices. We need to get principles so that we know how to think about everything. So the first one is in terms of biological principles. That is Dr. Brahma and Rai Rabinowitz. They think that the medium through which the sound waves are converted to electrical impulse is completely irrelevant, right? What's important is that a sound wave got converted to an electrical impulse, which then stimulated the nerve. So that's great for the active middle ear implant, and cochlear implants, right? Both of those are really just converting the sound wave into electrical impulse, but the bone. Right, the hearing aid that functions by conducting the vibrations through the bone. So that also is converting vibrations through the bone and then to electrical impulse. I'm not sure if they would necessarily care about that because, you know, who really cares how it's getting converted? Instead of the medium that the sound wave is traveling is the cochlear implant. The medium here is the bones of the body. I'm not really sure if that matters. I would argue that they think that that's also considered hearing. But the devices that introduce a whole new state of matter, right, that introduce radio waves, might not be considered hearing anymore. It's a little bit, I think, more of a stretch because at that point you're already switching from one physical manifestation to another. You're switching from a sound wave to a radio frequency to an electrical impulse. Maybe that's a little bit more problematic. I still think that, at least based on how they're thinking about it, since what they seem to care about, they don't seem to care about the medium through which things are traveling. I don't know if there should really be a difference, again, between bone, between radio frequencies, or cochlear implants. The point is a sound wave got converted somehow to an electrical impulse. That's good enough for me to be considered halachic hearing. The other way of thinking about this is in terms of the normal fashion of hearing, right? So for that, we have two different arguments. We have Rav Sternbach, who thinks to think that any way that is considered normal, kidarko for that person, is considered hearing. So I think he'd be okay with any of these devices. Nothing really matters for him, right? As long as you are taking a sound wave, somehow getting it into the brain, I don't think he'd care less how it got there. The point is, this is what's considered hearing for you. You heard, what do I care? It's all good. Rabbi Navon might actually care, though, about which pathway it's taking, right? He's the one that was arguing that it's important that in order to be considered hearing in halacha, it has to follow the normal natural pathway. That was his problem by eating. That was what he was trying to prove. So then cochlear implant, the bone device, all these other, these shouldn't work because they're not following the natural pathway. But the device that's just functions as a middle ear, the middle ear implant, where all that's doing is it just functions, the sound wave still gets to the ear. And then all it's doing is it's just amplifying the signal that's getting sent to the nerve. It's not changing anything in the pathway. It's just amplifying that signal. I don't know if you would necessarily care about that because as far as if I'm just looking at the person's ear, that it's following the right pathway. True, this, you know, the signal gets converted, but I don't know if you would necessarily care about that. It's still following that biological pathway. So it is possible that he would, that particular device, he would consider halachic hearing. The third way of thinking about this is processing of sound. Right, so Rav Weiss argued basically it's across the board. Anytime you're processing anything, that's not considered hearing. He's very a naturalistic way of thinking about all these issues. It has to be the natural way by talking, by hearing aids, by talking. It has to be with the vocal cords. You have to speak normally. By hearing, it has to be the normal way of hearing. It can't be by normal. I mean through the ear, through the biological way of hearing something. It can't have any device assisting. Any device that's assisting would not be considered hearing in halacha. Rabbi Bleich, as we pointed out, thinks that there's a difference between, depends what the material that's being converted to, right? So there's a difference between the processed sound waves that a speaker would produce by a classical hearing aid to the electrical impulse that a cochlear implant is producing. Electrical impulse is not something that you could perceive physically. Therefore, it wouldn't be considered a problem. The cochlear implant would be considered hearing. It wouldn't be considered any issue. The middle ear and the bone device, the one that's causing vibrations through the bones, both of those are causing extra vibrations. vibrations are something that I can see. Halacha might recognize according to a Blake's view. In that case, that might not be considered hearing, because the same problem that I had with hearing aids last week. With hearing aids, my issue was that I converted a sound wave to an electrical impulse to a sound wave. Here, I converted a sound wave to a vibration, to a physical vibration. That might be considered an issue. That might not be, again, that might be something halacha recognizes. Halacha doesn't recognize, doesn't think about, doesn't recognize that sound is something that can be transmitted to a vibration. But a cochlear implant is an electrical impulse, so that's definitely considered sound. I think the same argument would be made for the device that converts it into a radio wave. Radio wave is not something that I can perceive. So in which case, I think it should be completely irrelevant that there is a device here that's using a radio wave. It's not a physical phenomenon that people could perceive, and therefore that would be considered hearing in halacha according to Rav Blake's position. Thank you for listening, and I think that's how we could think about all these devices and how we can think about cochlear implants and more advanced hearing aids in halacha.
One other thing about cochlear implant, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but actually the sound is picked up by an external device, and then it's converted to ultra-high frequencies, and it's actually transmitted through the skin to a receiver on the other side. So there's a stage where it's actually radio frequency modulated through the skin. The early cochlear implants were direct connect. They just had the wires going from a device out here through the skin into the cochlea, but those led to infections. So they decided, how will we do it without breaking the skin? And they did that by putting in a receiver on the other side of the skin. So they have a transmitter and receiver that conveys information as another stage before it gets into the final hair cells.
So I did not realize that, but that's perfect for a Blake's view still. It still works, right? Because again, if it's a radio frequency, then it wouldn't be, it's not being converted into some other physical matter that we could perceive. So halacha would consider it irrelevant. So it would still work within Rav Blake's position, at least. It would still be considered hearing in halacha. And I think everybody else that said cochlear implants would work would still agree that they work, because right, they don't care about that. They just care about somehow a sound wave got transmitted to the brain. They didn't really care how it went. But I didn't realize that, so thanks for pointing that out.
Well, can I say one other thing? Yeah. One other thing that I really don't understand fully, but seems to be multiple classes of people with cochlear implants. There's someone who was born hearing, learned how to hear, early age, eventually became deaf, got the device implanted. Typically, they describe the experience when they first got turned on in many ways, but it's not hearing. Whatever it is, doesn't make sense at first. And gradually they say, this is what I remember now. So somehow their mind or their brain or their interpretation returns to what they remember. Now, there are people who were born deaf and don't get an implant till later age. They get a sense of sound they cannot hear, they cannot understand. And then there are people that are kids that are now being implanted in less than a year old, 6 months old. They never heard. We can communicate with them. We assume they're hearing what we're hearing. We really don't know.
Right. So I didn't want to. I did see that. And I was thinking about it. I don't know, though, if it should be relevant. I mean, there were obviously, we did mention that there was some people that were thinking about what's considered normal hearing, right? Or Sternbach was clearly responding to a view that thought that there is a not normal way of hearing. So if anything would constitute not normal way of hearing, what they're describing might be that. I'm not sure. I don't know how to really think about it, because, again, as you mentioned, that could just be because I'm sure this is more complicated than what we know, right, than what we currently understand. But it could just be because of how the brain perceives those signals. It just has to adapt. So it might just not know what to do with it at first. And then eventually, you know, the brain learns how to interpret it. I have no idea. I'm making things up. I don't know if anyone else does. So I might as well make things up.
Everyone's different, apparently, each of the.
Yeah, so again, I think also when you and I hear it might be different. So I don't know if that's I don't know if that's halachically relevant.
Right.
But it is interesting biologically, at least.
Let me just say one other interest, maybe side issue. When I first was a graduate student, it was before cochlear implants were, even people didn't even believe they could do it. So what our lab, people in our groups that I knew, they said, can we substitute the skin? Instead of having vibration in the ear, let's do vibration on the arm. And they tried to build essentially hearing through the skin. Now, they never got too far. Implants really put them out of business because they didn't need those other kind of devices. But it would have created another whole interesting dilemma. Can you hear if your brain somehow is able to match the sensations to what other people seem to be reporting, but through a completely different channel, the skin?
Right. So the Gadic source that also has potentially that question by Har Sinai, right? They saw what they were hearing and they heard what they were sounding, something like that, right? So again, I have no idea what to do with Medrash because I don't know how to think about it halachically, really. But and I have no idea what that means. But that would theoretically be the first source I would quote if I was writing an essay on that topic about how to think about hearing in that way. I think the conclusion though would just be, again, I think again using the sources we have here, it would be about what is considered hearing in halacha, right? If all I care about is that external sound wave somehow got perceived by the brain, I don't care how it got there. So what do I care if someone was born with ears on his arms instead of on his head? Right? What do I care, right? As long as that sound wave got there, good enough for me. And then obviously other people, there might be a little bit more nuance. But that's
a practical aspect of that, though. In our time, at least in the conservative synagogue I go to on Rosh Hashanah, if it's not on Shabbat, they have some deaf congregants who come and they walk up to the front and the shofar blowers step down and they put their hands on the shofar. Are they here? And they listen.
Mostly feel the vibration of the vibration. Shofar.
Yeah.
And I'm but not it doesn't sure. get perceived as sound though, right?
Well, apparently not. I can assume. I can only assume it doesn't.
It's right. I wonder how, meaning if that would get perceived as sound somehow, I mean, I assume that's just touch, right? It's a different sense. Yeah, it's not hearing. If that would somehow get perceived as hearing, then that would be an interesting question. That would be basically the same thing as the device that uses the bone to get the vibrations across. It would essentially be that idea. So that would be, I mean, if that's how it worked, then I think that would potentially be considered hearing, but I think it's a different sense altogether.
Yes, it's not how it works.
So I don't think halacha would consider
what's the difference between that and just braille reading? It's sensory. It's the touch.
Right.
When a blind person feels braille, they're not reading. So if a deaf person feels the vibrations, they're not hearing. That's what I would be guessing. Right, sensory, different sensory. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Same. The information may be there, but not.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
At least it wasn't done with the eyes, obviously. Yeah. That was all farm. Yeah. Anything else?
Ooh, very good. So what's the topic next week?
I'm still thinking about it. I'm thinking about maybe prosthetic eyes or maybe BiPAP machines. I'm not sure yet. I have to decide which way I want to go.
All right, just email me so I will just send out the.
Sure, no problem. Can I actually speak to you for a few minutes after?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Okay.